Hebrews chapter 11, we want to talk about faith, and I'm going to share with you four or so points. Point number one, faith's worship. The way of faith, number one, is faith's worship, and we're going to look at a more excellent sacrifice. When you live by faith, faith's worship, the way you worship God, you will give a more excellent sacrifice, one that's more pleasing to God. Point number two we'll look at is faith's work, the work of faith. And we'll look at Noah preparing an ark. Noah prepared an ark of safety. And when you're living by faith or walking the way of faith, you will naturally, by faith, prepare an ark of safety for other people in your lives. Number three we'll look at is faith's witness. Enoch pleased God. And faith allowed God to do something supernatural in Enoch's life. So the witness of faith is the things that God allows us to do. And then number four, faith's walk. Abraham went out not knowing where he'll go. And part of living the way of faith is you walk with God and you don't always know where you're going, but you know by faith he's going to lead you to the right direction. And then faith's willingness. Sarah received strength, and when it was impossible for her to have children, she did. So faith's willingness. If you have a willing heart, God can do many things for you. So first of all, let's look at the way of faith. Point number one, faith's worship, a more excellent sacrifice. And over in the book of Hebrews, where we're looking at now, it tells us all about faith. In verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is what we hope for, but we don't have anything other than faith to say that it exists. God says for you to believe by faith. And faith, you know, without faith, it's impossible to believe God. And God is saying to us that faith is the substance of what you hope for, but the evidence of things you don't see. Meaning you and I can, through faith, have convictions that we don't let anybody move us away from. You and I ought to have convictions by faith, and of our sins being forgiven through calling upon the name of the Lord, and of Christ interceding for us and praying for us every day, which he does. And then in verse 2 it says, For by it the elders obtained a good report. If you want to obtain a good report with God, hold on to your faith. If you want to obtain a good report in this life, hold on to your faith and just keep believing. Don't live a life of doubt. Live a life of faith. And faith's worship allows you to give a more excellent sacrifice to God. If you and I, Miss Nellie, are living by faith, then when we worship God, we're going to give him a more excellent sacrifice. You say, "Well, Brother Ray, what are you talking about?" I'll show you. In verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice." Now watch it before we get there. In verse 3, it says that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So faith allows us to know that God put this world together out of nothing. That's truly what he did. And then we get into verse 4, where Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice. Now, there's a secret to Abel being able to do that. If you look back at Genesis 4, there's a secret to this, of what happened in Abel's life, and it's all about offering a more excellent sacrifice. I don't know about you, but I'm sure you do. I do. I want to offer the best sacrifice I can to God. And in Genesis 4, verse 3, it tells us this. It says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Now, what happened was this. Cain offered the fruit of the ground, meaning he probably offered vegetables and grain and all that kind of stuff. Abel offered animals to the Lord. And it said that God had no respect to Cain. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth?" Because Cain got upset with God. "And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Now, what God is saying is this. He is saying, you know what, Cain, you come to me and you offer me these fruits and these grains, you know, wheat and barley and all that kind of stuff. And later on we know that God does accept grains and barleys as a part of the offerings laid down in the temple. But that those were for other types of sacrifices. The sacrifice for sin was shed blood and a lamb being sacrificed. And God told Cain, said, look, sin lieth at your door. He said, God says, I'm telling you what needs to be offered to me to please me, to worship me correctly, and you're offering me for the purpose of worship, that is to know me. You're offering me grain and works is what it really is works. And what I want is somebody like Abel who's offering me a blood sacrifice, something that will pay for sins. That's what I accept to begin with. And what God said to Cain, when Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell in verse 5 of Genesis 4, God, in verse 6, was saying, why art thou wroth? Meaning God was giving Cain an opportunity to offer the right sacrifice. And instead of Cain taking that opportunity, look in verse 8 what he did. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Instead of just doing what God wanted him to do, he went and took out his anger against God, against his fellow man. Whenever you hurt a fellow person, you're really angry against God. And here Cain, being angry against God because God did not accept his sacrifice for this particular purpose, Cain took it out on his innocent brother. Faith's worship is to offer a more excellent sacrifice. And when you and I live for the Lord, we need to offer a sacrifice that is more excellent, that is acceptable to God. And we need to come to God on His terms. You see, God was looking at Cain and Abel, and God was looking for the attitude of the heart. The attitude of the heart to give to God what God wants and the way God wants. God wants you and me to give to Him. You know, a lot of times in raising my girls, I'll say I want something done this way, Brother Moses, and they'll get upset with me. They want to do it another way. But if you're going to make Daddy happy, you do it the way He wants. If you're going to make God, our Heavenly Father, happy, we need to do things the way He wants. We need to live the way He wants us to live. And faith's worship, true worship, according to Hebrews 11, is to live with an attitude where you can give a more excellent sacrifice unto the Lord, one that is acceptable. So I share with you with all my heart, if you're upset with God and He's asked for something from you and you won't give it, you got a wrong attitude, and God gives you time to change your attitude. If God wants something from you, whether it's your time, your talent, your tithe, your testimony, whatever it is, let go and give it. That's what faith is all about. You say, Brother Ray, I don't have time to give Him time. Well, that's where faith comes in. So if you want to offer a more excellent sacrifice, to have true worship, you got to live by faith. Now, Brother Moses, if I didn't need to use faith, if I only give to God what adds up, that's not faith. Faith is you going above and beyond what you think you can do and what makes sense. Faith is living by faith. It's doing things for God by faith. Faith's worship, a more excellent sacrifice. Cain had the wrong attitude, wanted God to change God's mind, to accept what Cain wanted. Cain should have changed Cain's mind and given God what he wanted. And I submit to you today, if your mind is not on the same track that God's is, you change your mind and agree with God and quit thinking God's supposed to change His mind. I tell you one little pet peeve I've got. I get so tired of people telling me God will understand as an excuse to do what they want. God's not going to understand. He didn't do it with Cain, and He's not going to understand. We need to do things His way. I believe that for our benefit. Now, I go to point number two, faith's witness, to be a witness walking the life of faith. You need to please God. Enoch pleased God. And Hebrews 11, verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, Miss Tooley, watch this. Enoch walked with God. And we know because Enoch walked with God, we know these things, Miss Tooley. We know that, number one, he had to be saved. meaning he turned to God from his sins. He had to walk with God. Number two, he had to be set apart, meaning he had to be trusting God. If you're going to walk with God, you have got to trust him. And Enoch was set apart, meaning, Brother Moses, instead of me trusting what other people tell me to do by majority vote, I need to trust Christ and walk with him. We also know that if Enoch walked with God, he not only was saved and set apart, but he was sanctified, Lydia. He was committed to God's authority. He walked with God according to God's arrangement. Sanctified, meaning separated unto the Lord to do things God's way. And also in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That word "diligently seek," we know that had to apply to Enoch, because in the previous chapter, Enoch pleased God, and then in verse 6 it says, "Without faith you will never please God." So we know that Enoch had a faith that kept going after God, because in the end of verse 6 it says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God had to know that Enoch diligently sought after God. So Enoch had to be saved, he had to be set apart, he had to be sanctified, he had to have spiritual commitment or spiritual consistency, meaning he diligently sought after God. Also, Enoch had to have shared the gospel, because in Jude verse 14 it says he preached the gospel. Enoch was a preacher. If you're saved and walking with God, your testimony is important. And then Enoch had a supernatural conclusion. One day God just took him. Now, don't miss this. Faith, point number one, remember, was faith's worship, to have a more excellent sacrifice. You live by faith, you can make offerings like Abel that please God. Number two, faith's witness. The witness of true faith is that I please God. Now, watch this, Brother Moses. Enoch pleased God, and because he pleased God, his faith allowed God to do something that was impossible. Meaning one day God let Enoch walk with God right on up into heaven. Now watch this. When you please God, that kind of faith will allow God to do in your life what's impossible. It will do that. When you please God, doing so will allow God to do the impossible in your life. And faith's witness is Enoch pleased God. And because he pleased God, one day God said, "Come on and walk with me home." Number three, faith's work. Faith's work. The way of faith is you produce a work. And Noah prepared an ark. Now, in Hebrews 11:7, Noah was warned of God of something that had never happened before. It had never rained before. And Noah, because of his faith, said, "Okay, I'll just believe you, God." You know, when God tells us things, like last night I was here, Brother Moses, and we had about several kids here, and they had said, "Any of you kids that want to come talk to me about being saved, come on." And about five of them got up and followed the teenagers back there to the room. And when the leaders came out, I said, "How many of them got saved?" And these are boys that are 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. They're old enough to know what it takes to be saved. And they just heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Every night these kids have heard. They'll use different verses to keep it energized, but they heard a clear presentation. So the leaders came out and says, "Well, we told them," as I understood what he was telling me, that we asked them how many of them wanted to pray and accept Christ now, or did you want to, and no one raised their hand. So they said, "Well, do you want to do it at home or something?" They gave them an option. All the old-timers I walk with, Brother Moses, you don't give a kid an option, let them walk out lost. You lead them across the finish line. And all the old-timers, and I learned by the very best, I believe, Preacher Morris, Pastor Jones, Dr. Lee Robertson, Miss Nellie, if you were in his service and you knelt at the altar, he would take his time and come and pray by you and find out what you need. He was not going to let you go. So I had a burden on my heart, and they took the kids on out and played. And I said, "I may never see those kids." In fact, one or two of them said they may not be able to come back. So I'm thinking, we're going to let them go home. I think it was D.L. Moody was preaching in Chicago, and he didn't give the altar call. He said, "Y'all think about what I've said." And if I'm not mistaken, that's when the big fire took place and wiped everything out. And he, if it was him, He said, I'll never do that again. Preacher Morris took his daddy as a little kid. He got his daddy to go to church one time. And the one time he took his daddy to church, they had a cantata, had no gospel message. His daddy left and never went back to church. And Preacher Morris told me, don't you ever, ever let anybody come to church and not hear the gospel. And then don't you ever let them leave without, watch this, trying to close the deal. You tell them clearly and give them a chance to be saved. Don't let them go. And don't let them talk about options. You lead them to it. Now, faith's work is this. Noah, when God said something's going to happen that's never happened before, Noah built an ark of safety. And he preached for 120 years. So what I did is I asked the leaders, because it was burdening my heart. I said, you go get those five kids, and you bring them back in here, and you set them right here, and let me talk to them. All five of them came back in, Ms. Nellie. They sat right here. I shared like I typically do at the end of a service, but on a lower level, confess, believe, and accept. Had them all bow their heads, prayed a sinner's prayer, told them if they'd prayed silently in their heart, told the Lord. I mean, I will say when I was nine, it's not rocket scientists. They can do that. I said, pray in your heart. And then at the end, I said, now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, don't raise your hand unless you really meant that prayer to Jesus. I want you to raise your hand. All five of them raised their hand. And I know as a witness between me and my heart and God's heart, they're all saved. But they would have gone out of here, and I don't know if they would have ever had that chance again. When God told Noah, said, Noah, I want you to build the ark, suppose Noah said, not this year. Suppose he had said that. Suppose he said, well, maybe I got the message wrong and I'm just going to wait. A lot of times, early on in this year, when we were talking, Ms. Nellie, about, I had a burden to have vacation Bible school. And I was told that, well, it hadn't happened here in a while and we don't have that many kids coming here. And I don't care about all that stuff. God said, let's have a vacation Bible school. And I believe him. And look at what's happened to these kids. We've reached out to them and one adult got saved. You don't look at what you think are the results. You don't look at what's happened for the last 400 years, because if Noah had said, well, Lord, it's never rained before and we've never had a flood, I'm going to wait until we have at least one rainstorm before I build the ark, he'd never built it. Or if he had postponed it, people would have died and drowned, and him and his whole family would have died and drowned. But Noah did what God told him to do by faith. You and I don't ever get discouraged. If you do get discouraged, because we all have those moments, you walk out of discouragement and start working. And faith's work was Noah, when God warned him, he built an ark. Now, let me tell you about that ark. Now, watch this. Faith builds safety, or arks, for other people, Ms. Nellie. We're in it, not just for me, but I'm in it for other people, those young kids. Faith builds by God's specifications, Brother Moses. Noah built it. Suppose Noah said, well, Lord, you tell me you want an ark that's about 450 feet or ever how long it was. I think I'm just going to build it 100 feet because it won't take me as long. Well, a lot of the animals wouldn't have fit on there, and they would have had a mess. Faith builds it according to God's specifications. We need to live by faith, and faith's work is we do things God's way. Faith also, Brother Moses, builds without letting the results discourage you or slow you down. Noah preached for 120 years and not a single person outside of his family got saved, but he never stopped preaching for 120 years while he built the boat. Faith builds completely. Suppose Noah had said, well, I don't think we need the second and third and fourth floors. I'm going to just shorten this thing because I'm getting tired after 119 years and cut it short. No, faith builds completely. Faith will live to see the results. God will never let you do something that you won't see the results in down the road at some time in your life. So number one, faith's worship. If we live by faith, then we will give a more excellent sacrifice to God like Abel did. Faith's witness. If we live by faith, we will please God like Enoch did. And God will use us and show us things that is impossible to have happened otherwise. Miracles take place. Faith, the way of faith, is in our works. We, like Noah, will prepare an ark of safety, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, for others. Number four, faith's walk. The walk we have. It's like Abraham. In verse 8 of Hebrews 11, it says, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Now, let me tell you a secret. If you are going to walk by faith, Ms. Chege, if you're going to do it, God's got to call you first. And God, watch this. Don't forget this. Why didn't God's calling go to somebody else? Think about that. Why didn't God's calling go to Lot? Say, hey, Lot, I want you to get up, leave your country, and go to a place that I'm going to show you. Why didn't God's calling go to Uncle Joe down the street? God's calling comes to a person that God knows will respond in faith and walk where God tells you to walk. Has God called you lately? If not, you need to beg God to get your heart straight so he'll know that if he calls you, you'll walk where he tells you to walk. Now, my three girls, I can tell you pretty much, Miss Nellie, when I asked each one, I can ask each one of them a certain thing, and I can pretty much tell you what they're going to do. So if I know they're not going to do something, do you think I bother asking them? Truly, I don't. At our office, we joke about it, Ms. Chege. Each of us knows what our children's characteristics are. Like in Ms. Tooley's family, I know that Ms. Jenny is wired. It's like she's on steroids, okay? So I know that if I go ask Ms. Jenny, Ms. Jenny, can you help me do something? Unless she's on a ventilator in the hospital, strapped down, she will do everything she can to do it. Don't you think God knows that about us, Ms. Chege? So faith walk. Don't make any mistake about Abraham. The reason God knocked at his door was because God knew Abraham was going to get up and go. And if God, watch this, and if God's not knocking at your door and my door, that gets me nervous. I want to have a heart where God, when he asks me to do something, I'll do it. And down on the farm, Ms. Nellie, when we were working in the tobacco field and I was a teenager, my brother, the only person he'd ask in the whole group of us guys working with me, he would tell me what to do. Why? Because he knew I'd get these guys and get it done. If he asked some of those other guys, they might not even tell me we're supposed to do it because they want to go home early. I mean, sometimes he's told them, one time Brother Mosey told him we wanted to move dirt from the backside of the 10-acre field and put it over in a mud puddle because it was dry. Well, they didn't want to do that. He said, but I want you to get me several loads. How many is several, Ms. Nellie? I don't know, at least two, maybe three, four. But the purpose is I want you to fill up that hole. So, you know, he told one of the guys, so they came to me and says, your brother wants us to get, and he'd gone to work for the day, worked at Reynolds Mills. Say, your brother wants us to get two loads of dirt and put in that mud hole. So we put two loads in there, and it didn't fill it up. I said, well, he don't want to fill it up part of the way, Brother Moses. He want to fill that hole up completely so when the rains come, we won't be going through the slop anymore. That's the way God is. Ms. Chege, if God is going to call you, and he already knows if he asks you to do five things, you're going to do two, he might start going to somebody else. Faith's walk, because God knocked on Abraham's door, God knew that what Abraham was going to do. And when God told Abraham to get up and go, Abraham got up and went. And he followed God, meaning he had to walk away from his family. And it says he lived in verse 9 of Hebrews 11. He sojourned in the land of promise. That is, he lived in Canaan. He was supplied by God, abundant supply, and he was taken care of. And then it says in verse 10, a verse I love, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was, Miss Nellie, he was always homesick for a city. He never was too excited about down here, but always homesick for a city, always looking. You know, people who live for the Lord, Brother Moses, we're always looking for that heavenly city. Always. You live that away. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going up. Last point, number 5, and we've got to wrap this up. It's faith's willingness. Faith's willingness. Are you willing? It's shown by your faith. Now watch this, Ms. Chege. In Hebrews 11:11, through faith, Sarah herself received strength. You know why she received that strength to have a child when she was past age? It's because, watch this, because God knew her heart was willing. When God looks at you, if he knows your heart is willing, you may be like Sarah, too old to get it done, like me, too many aches and pains, broke, don't have any money, Ms. Nellie, and you can't get it done. But if God sees a willing heart, he'll knock at your door. And where does she get the strength from, Brother Moses? From herself? No. From drinking Geritol? No. God gave her that strength. Why, Ms. Chege? Because she had a willing heart. She said, I'm too old. Don't have time for this. But if you want me, an old person past age, my patience is all gone, to have a child and carry a child inside of me for 9 months and postpone my life, I'll do it. Sarah had a willing heart. The way of faith, and we're done. The way of faith, faith's worship, is you offer a more excellent sacrifice like Abel by offering what God wants. Faith's witness. Enoch pleased God, and your witness of your faith is that you please God, and Ms. Checky, watch this, and we're almost done. He does things through your life like he did with Enoch that was impossible. Point number three, faith's work. Like Noah, you prepare an ark for something that you don't even have never seen before, and it happens, and you build it according to God's specifications, and then you see the fruit for your labor. Number four, faith's walk. Like Abraham, you just walk where God tells you to walk. And that's why he knocks at your door. And the last point, faith's willingness. Like Sarah, you just have a willing heart. You say, well, God, if you want me to postpone my entire life and put it on hold for 9 months so that you can have a child through me that'll carry on, I'll do it. And because of that, in verse 12, and we're done, it says, therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Meaning, Abraham and Sarah were good as dead, but because of her willing heart, they had heirs that came, Ms. Chege. It was like the multitude of stars. God multiplied them. I want God to let me raise up children in his name, born again boys and girls, a multitude. That's what I want. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time together. I thank you so much for everyone that came tonight. Thank you for those kids that are here in vacation.